Hello, you're listening to the Urban Uncovered show, where it is my job to tease out some of the most fascinating works in the field of neuroscience. My name is Aya Tarabian, a cognitive and clinical neuroscience student and the host of this podcast show. Today, I'm going to be talking to you about the neural underpinnings of pain and how does it manifest itself in the brain. So how is it that, you know, such an experience can differ from one person to another? And what exactly, determines the extent to which something is really painful? Now, speaking, in broad terms, pain is just an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience, and it's associated with actual or potential tissue damage, according to the dictionary. Now, pain is something we experience, so it's measured by what we say it is, and it does have an intensity, so you can describe it from, a scale of 0, no pain, to 10, the most painful pain imaginable. But pain also has a character, right? It can be sharp, it can be dull, it can be burning, aching. What exactly creates these perceptions of pain? Well, that's where we get into the nuts and bolts. Now, when we get hurt, a special tissue damage sensing nerve cells called nociceptors fire, and they kind of send these signals to the spinal cord and then up to the brain. So processing work gets done by cells called neurons and glia. So yeah, that is all the way up in our little beautiful brain. So this is your gray matter and brain superhighways, as you can call them. They carry information as electrical impulses from area to another. And then there you've got your white matter. So this is a superhighway. It carries pain information. Why is it a superhighway? Because it practically sends signals very fast. And it carries those electrical impulses from the spinal cord to the brain into a sensory pathway that ends in the cortex, which is a part of the brain that decides what to do with the pain signals. Now, you have another system of interconnected brain cells called the salience network. So this one decides what to pay attention to. And since pain can have, serious consequences, the pain signal immediately activates the salience network. Now, you're paying attention. The brain also responds to the pain and has to cope with these pain signals. So motor pathways are also activated. And, they're what pushes you to take your hand off a stove, pretty much, or not to electrically shock yourself with whatever's around you. So, these modulation networks are kind of there to help you survive until at least you see, a decade or two of life. We've got plenty of networks involved. There's also the modulation network, which is activated to deliver endorphins. This is a chemical release when you're in pain or during extreme exercises. You're doing like very rigorous ones. This is why there's this thing called the runner's highs. That's what creates it. You get like a rush of endorphins and cephalines, and there you go. So these chemical systems kind of help regulate and reduce pain, and all these networks and pathways, they work together to create your pain experience. So to prevent the so-called tissue damage, and it kind of helps you cope with it. So yeah, this system is similar for everyone. However, the sensitivity the efficiency of these brain circuits kind of determines how we feel pain and how do we cope with it. So this is why some people have greater pain than others, and why some develop chronic pain that does not, respond to absolutely any treatment. So yeah, now variability in pain sensitivities is so vastly different, and I think there are all kinds of variabilities. Variability in pain sensitivities is not so different than all the kinds of variability in responses to other stimuli, by the way. Like, how some people love roller coasters, but other kind of suffer terrible emotion, like motion sickness, and just puke the minute they leave it or while they're in the ride. Why does it matter? Why does it really matter that there is variability in your, in our brain circuits? There must be, an adaptive purpose for this, right? Well, there are, obviously many. Now, if we were to, look at it from from the lens of treatment, for example. There are many treatments for pain, right? Targeting different systems. So for mild pain, you get non-prescription drugs, medications, and they can act on cells where the pain signal starts. So that's the beginning. There's stronger pain medicines and, you know, anesthetics. They work by reducing the activity in pain sensing circuits, or even boosting your coping system or endorphins. You know, so some people can cope with pain using methods that involve distraction, numbing it away, even maybe yoga or meditation. Strategies that can practically be taught. Everyone has heard of CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. This is one of the most common ways to deal with chronic pain, but like on an individual level with no medication. So yeah, some people who suffer from severe chronic pain, which is by the way pain that doesn't go away for many months, their injury does not really heal from such therapy, but it helps them cope with it. So yeah, you know, traditionally medical science has been about testing treatments on large groups to determine what would help the majority of patients. But this has usually left out some who didn't benefit from the treatment or practically experienced side effects. You know, they're just left there. So new treatments have been, you know, discovered, and they look at trying to directly stimulate or block certain pain sensing attention or modulation networks that are being developed. And so along with the ways they develop these is that they tailor them to individual patients. So they do that using MRI, to map brain pathways, MRI, by the way, stands for magnetic resonance imaging, and they figure out how your brain practically responds to pain to find out the best treatment for you. So yeah, there goes personalized medicine and treatment for you. It's quite fascinating. But yeah, I hope this gave you a little hint into how is it that our brain reacts to pain. And I hope this episode has been of, you know, good use. If you feel free to reach out to me if you have any topics you'd like to hear more of. Anyways, thank you for listening all the way till the end. And most importantly, thank you for your interest in science.